Wisconsin Transit Week starts today, according to a proclamation from the governor. It's an effort to celebrate public transportation in Wisconsin. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Craig Thompson is Executive Director of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Craig, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Thanks, and thanks for joining us a bit earlier than originally planned. First of all, what is this Transit Week all about?
Well, it's really time to take the week and just put a spotlight on our public transportation systems across the state and just how many people really rely on them to get to work and get to school or the doctor's visits or whatever it might be. And so it's just sort of a fun way to recognize it and celebrate it.
What are some of the benefits that you see from having public transit available?
Well, you know, obviously it's an environmentally sound way to get about, but for many, it's there's more people out there than you think that don't own a car. And so for a lot of people, it is their connection to get to, you know, anywhere. So it's really a component of really keeping our communities moving and keeping people connected to jobs and to just to be able to get around.
And how many transit systems are out there? And when we talk about this, we're mostly talking about buses, right?
Well, there's 81 different providers throughout the state. In the areas that have more population, we are talking about bus systems. But there's also, in the more rural areas, there's shared ride taxis and paratransit as well.
And you think, you've mentioned to our producer, I think, that public transportation is often overlooked. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot of us, you know, I drive, a lot of us drive, and if you're not riding the bus every day, it's not something that's necessarily in your frontal lobe. So, but there's millions of people that do, whether just periodically or every day. And so I think it's really important. One of the things we're trying to do this week is ask people to tweet while they're riding the bus and just share their stories. The question of the day that we're asking today is, what's your transit system? And we're just hoping to start a conversation so that, you know, there's no such thing as distracted riding. we don't want anybody tweeting while they're driving their car, but while you're on the bus, you can do it safely.
Well, you can tell your public transit story at 800-642-1234. Do you use public transportation of some sort? Why do you do it? Or do you have it available but you don't use it? Why not? Do you wish you had some kind of public transportation in your area, but there's nothing there? Would you like to see something? Would you use it if it was available? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, 800-642-1234. You can send us an email, talk@WPR.org, that's talk@WPR.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Now, Craig, public transportation isn't always at the front of our minds when we're out driving. Is it at the forefront when we're doing things like making state budgets?
Well, that's a great question, Rob. You know, transit last budget received a bit of a cut. There was a 10% cut. We're hoping that that could possibly be restored in this budget. And one of the other things that's talked about as well is that most other states do have local funding for transit, other than the property tax. We have the property tax right now. But we had some regional transit authorities in place for a while that would have allowed voters to go through referendum and have some sales tax dedicated towards it. We don't have that anymore. So it's a process. Wisconsin historically has funded transit, I think, pretty well, but it's a commitment that we're hoping that we can step up to even a bit more.
And when we're looking at a local bus system, we don't need to delve too deep in the numbers, but roughly what's the proportion paid by my fare when I get on the bus, by city support, by state and federal support?
Well, that varies by system. I don't have a one specific number for you, but you know, a fair amount the increasing amount of that has been on the property tax. The fare box has gone up a little bit in some of the areas. The state portion has stayed relatively constant, but the growing part has been the property tax.
And you mentioned those regional transportation authorities. It seemed like they were blooming all over the place for a while, but then they were kind of controversial. What was the backlash against regional transportation planning?
Well, there was a budget several budgets ago that created the ability for five different areas of the state to form a regional transit authority, but it did become controversial, and because I think that there was a sales tax component to it, and so that was removed. That language was taken out in the last budget.
And is there a sense that, well, I don't want this regional authority taxing me? I drive, I don't use a bus, so I don't want this thing, this organization having the power to levy taxes against me for something I don't use. Is that the sentiment out there?
I think there's some of that, but there's also a tremendous amount of support for it. I know, you know, the Fox Valley, the mayor and a lot of the local leaders there have been asking for it again. You know, the thing that people forget is that transit has really been booming in a lot of areas. Madison had a record ridership last year. There's just a story at UW Oshkosh. They just set a record this last year with over 100,000 rides. They've had a great collaboration between the city and the university there. And so there's more and more people, young people and old people in all demographics, more are using transit. And so I think it's just a matter of who we're listening to and who we're not.
We've done shows in the past about older drivers around the country, and of course with the baby boomers aging, there are more and more of those. And one of our guests, I remember, said, hey, you've got a lot of people who aren't going to be able to drive anymore. Do you have the public transit infrastructure in place to deal with that? How important is that older population when we're thinking about public transportation?
Well, Rob, I think it's hugely important. You know, I sat on that Transportation Finance and Policy Commission, and we had some presentations from the state demographer looking at different areas of the state and how we're aging. And we are going to have some issues if we don't prepare for the baby boomers continuing to age in place. Pretty soon, one in five of us are going to be you know, over the age of 65. So we need to have the infrastructures in place to be able to allow people to continue to go about their lives.
And then we've talked about buses, and that's easy to imagine in an urban area like Madison, Milwaukee. You mentioned the Oshkosh buses. What about rural areas? Are there things we can do for public transportation without, you know, sending out big buses with two or three people on them at a time?
Well, there is, and you'll find throughout the state there's a lot of those systems going on right now that are not bus systems, but they are. There's paratransit and there's shared ride taxis that allow people to get to doctor's visits or to, you know, different places that they need to go.
And then one elephant in the room I'll bring up there. I think some of our listeners may point out, well, Governor Walker is celebrating the public transportation, but didn't sign on to the high-speed rail, passenger rail plan that would have connected Madison, Milwaukee as part of a bigger system of links. Do you think that was a lost opportunity, or were there good reasons to not pursue that?
Well, that was obviously a hugely controversial topic, and I think there was arguments on both sides of that. We would have liked to have seen the high-speed rail move forward, but you know, we did recognize as well that there was not some of the other supporting, you know, if you look at funding at the national level, we're in a real bad way. And so there are some basic things that need to be tended to, too. So there was arguments on both sides.
That's Craig Thompson. He's executive director of the Transportation Development Association. We're talking about Transit Week. That kicks off today in Wisconsin. People are trying to draw attention to public transportation around the state, whether it's a bus system or various cab fare system or cab share systems in rural parts of the state, looking at what's available, what could be available, how important it is to people. And you can join in, share your transit story. That's part of what they're trying to do this week. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you ride the bus? Did you just get off the bus, or are you about to get on? Why do you do it? Why do you like to ride the bus? Or do you have transportation available, but you prefer the car for some reason? Tell us why that is and what it might take to get you to use public transit. Do you wish you had something in your area, but you don't? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Looking at the weather today, cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, cold with highs ranging from the low to mid-teens around the state. Tonight, turning cloudy with snow developing, lows in the single digits above and below zero. Tomorrow, variable clouds, some snow, moderating temperatures, highs in the 20s, lows in the single digits and teens. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret here, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, there's an election going on, and we'll talk to some of the candidates for Supreme Court, and we'll start tomorrow at this time. We'll talk to challenger Ed Falone, incumbent Pat Rogensack, and then Thursday at 7, we'll talk to Vince Megna. We'll talk to all three candidates for Wisconsin's Supreme Court seat through this week here on the Joy Cardine Show. Right now, we are talking about transportation in Wisconsin. It's Transit Week, and people are trying to celebrate public transportation where it exists, advocate for some where it doesn't. Craig Thompson is with us. He's Executive Director of the Transportation Development Association. We'll go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Are you a public transportation fan? Do you use it all the time, or don't you? Do you have it available where you are? Do you wish you did, or would you not use it even if you had it? 800-642-1234. Casey is with us in Sabisky. Hi, Casey.
Hi, my name is Casey with a C, and I'm calling from up north. Our infrastructure is a little light. We're north of Green Bay, and I just am finding it ironic that 2 years into Mr. Walker's administration, we're celebrating Transit Week when we had significant non-funding and return of federal monies for transportation expenses. I liken public the property taxes that I pay to support public schools would be also to be supporting public transit. So it's an interesting connection there.
All right. Thanks for the call, Casey. So she likes the idea that her property taxes would go to public transit, Craig.
Well, and I would bet a portion of them are right now. So it is a good connection, and it's an appropriate use of property tax dollars as well. But state funding is important, too.
Thanks for the call, Casey. We'll go now to Tom in Whitewater. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Good morning. Not all that long ago, a bus transportation system was developed in Whitewater that connects Janesville, Whitewater, and Milton through the Janesville Public Bus Service. And I believe it's full-size buses. It was in a pilot phase. It was funded by a grant. And I read recently that the grant's been continuing and it's been expanded. And there's been quite a bit of support for it. And although the service is somewhat limited, it seems to be very promising and kind of represents a nice collaboration, it appears, between manufacturing facility, Generac, and UW-Whitewater and the city, and really offers a very good thing for the area, that kind of connection for students and for others as well.
And, Tom, have you yourself taken it for a spin?
I have not done it yet. Part of it is it's fairly limited service, but I know they've expanded it.
Okay, and they're getting good ridership as far as you know?
It's increasing, and it seems to be working very well, and it really is something that is entirely different, brand new for a place like Whitewater to have that kind of connection with those other two fairly nearby communities.
Great. Thanks a lot for the call, Tom. Craig, what do you think of that, connecting a few smaller cities in Wisconsin via bus?
Yeah, what Tom's bringing up is really an exciting new. It was based on a grant. Dave Muma, the transit director in Janesville, has done just a phenomenal job of getting that going with Generac, an employer there, trying to get employees to there and connecting to Whitewater. As a matter of fact, State Representative Andy Jorgensen is going to be holding a listening session today to kick off Transit Week from, I believe, 1:30 to 2:30 on that bus line, really trying to promote what that line has done. And even another fun part of that is the UW-Whitewater has really embraced it, and they've got one of their classes is coming up with helping come up with a marketing plan for the bus line.
Well, that sounds fun. Now, are there similar programs bringing together two or three cities around the state?
We do have some bus lines that receive some support from the state that are intercity, that are across the state as well, yes.
And then, of course, there are private bus lines. I know you can ride buses from Madison to Milwaukee, certainly. There, a lot of those run. How do those fit into the overall picture?
Yeah, there's, you know, Badger Coach Lines and Van Gelder and numerous ones across that do connect, and that's all part of the that's all part of the network.
We'll go now to Doug in Viroqua. Hi there, Doug.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Say, I just wanted to let listeners know that there's been a transit bus service here in southwest Wisconsin just started up a couple months ago. Mississippi Regional Transit, and there's three buses that run. One goes from Viroqua to Prairie du Chien, a couple to La Crosse, and to the schools and hospitals and that. My wife happens to be a driver for one of them, and she's lucky she gets one or two riders a day, and it's been like that for about 2 months now. And I just want to let people know that for $3, one way to get from Viroqua to La Crosse, I mean, you can't even drive a car there for that. I mean, it's just good transportation. They're dependable. They're brand new buses. And I'm just, you know, promoting transit service here we got. I think it's a great thing, and I'm glad to see some transit coming to Southwest in these rural areas where it's hard to get around and gas prices are going up every day.
Thanks a lot for the call, Doug. Are you familiar with that one, Craig Thompson?
That one I was not aware of, so I'm glad he called in and made people alerted us to it.
Is that? Do you think that's a problem sometimes? Do we start up a bus line with a if you build it, they'll ride mentality, and we don't do enough to get the word out?
Well, I have to tell you, I haven't heard a lot of that. You know, this call, obviously, there is one of those, but I don't think we're building too many with the if you build it, they will come mentality. There's just not enough funding out there.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Katie on Facebook writes, I ride the bus to work only because I don't have a car. For me, the hours the buses run don't always work with the hours I work. So two separate questions there, I think. There are more people than we think of, I think you mentioned it at the outset, who don't have a car at all.
Well, you know, if you look at the numbers just in the Milwaukee area, there's a huge percentage that don't have a car. And so several years back when some of that Regional Transit Authority legislation was being formed, we had employers from Johnson Controls and Bucyrus and SC Johnson and, you know, just across the board just saying how important it was, Northwest Mutual, how important it was for them to have bus lines and increase bus lines to be able to get employees to their places of work.
And then Katie mentioned that the bus schedule doesn't always square up with her needs. Do you think, I know it's a tough balancing act, but do we balance what's available with what people need and use?
Well, you know, like you said, Rob, it's a tough balancing act. I think the different systems out there are doing the best they can. You know, there's like Madison Metro here. They've got an app now that they worked, some students at the University of Wisconsin helped come up with, that you can go on and check where your bus is at, so you know exactly when it's going to be at the bus stop. So I think there's a lot of improvements that keep coming, but it's always tough.
For those of us who work early in the morning, sometimes the first bus runs at 5 in the morning, and that's not early enough to get me to work some days. But obviously, I can't have a bus system custom built to my varying needs.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it tries to accommodate as many as possible.
We'll go now to Pamela in Colfax. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, this is Pamela Martin. I enjoy your show. I've been sitting here listening. I'm over 50. I'm disabled. In Dunn County here, we have cut the government program for funding for disabled people and gone to a private person or a private company, and it costs $2 a mile for those of us that live in the country area and have to travel, let's say, to Menominee or Eau Claire to our nearest medical appointments. It costs $2 a mile to travel over 30 miles for an appointment. It is cheaper for us to drive our own cars.
Thanks a lot for the call, Pamela. She brings up a great point. A lot of the public transit out there is targeted toward people with disabilities. Is that right, Craig?
Oh, it's a huge lifeline for people with disabilities. And, you know, that's unfortunate that the price has gone up in her area. I think it's just one of the realities of you know, tough budgets in some places these days. But it is a very important link for people with disabilities.
Thanks a lot for the call, Pamela. Good luck to you with that situation. We'll go now to Jerry waiting in Racine. Hi there, Jerry.
Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm concerned there's been some changes in federal transportation funding, and one of the really good programs we have in Wisconsin is called Wisconsin Employment Transportation Assistance Program. And
okay.
May actually kill the program.
We're losing Jerry there. He was talking about the Wisconsin Employment Transportation Assistance Program. I think the last thing I heard him say was something about killed the program. Are you familiar with that program, Craig? And what is it? What state is it in currently?
Well, I think I'm familiar with what he was talking about. In MAP 21, which was the most recent federal transportation budget, there were some changes made in some of the public transportation funding, and I think that was a program that I don't know if it was killed, but I think it was reduced.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for bringing that up. In our last couple minutes, what are you watching for? Of course, the big deal this year in state government is going to be coming up with our biennial state budget. Can you give us a few of the things that you're going to be watching when it comes to public transportation issues?
Well, again, one of the things that I think would be really beneficial for transit in Wisconsin is to allow communities to form regional transit authorities and give communities the ability to go to referendum and vote if they would like to form one and if they would like to levy up to half percent sales tax. Again, I think it would put us in keeping with our neighboring states and states across the country for how they fund public transportation. So I think that's one we're hoping will come. I don't know whether we'll see that or not, but that I think would probably be the biggest step that we could take in the budget.
Of course, you can't know whether it's going to happen. Do you go into the budget process with a sense of optimism that something like that could happen?
I'd say we're hopeful. I know it's been talked about. The Fox Valley, again, you know, they've got their separate pieces of legislation as well to form some of these too. So there's definitely a lot of talk about it out there. And, you know, anytime you go into one of these sessions, you just don't know.
And then in our last minute, you mentioned earlier what people can do to mark Public Transit Week. What should they do? Where should they go? What are you looking for from people?
Well, they should go to hashtag WI Transit Week if they're on Twitter. If not, they can go to tdawisconsin.org and click on the Transit Week and repost on Facebook or however they like. But again, it's hashtag WI Transit Week.
Craig Thompson, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Craig Thompson. He's Executive Director of the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. We've been talking about Wisconsin Transit Week. Coming up after the news, we're going to talk about job creation in Wisconsin. What kind of legislation is out there? What can the state government do, if anything, to boost job creation in the state? Stick around. There's more to come. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.